In this last quarter of the year, we're going to study the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. So if you turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, we're going to look at chapter 1, verse 1 this afternoon. 1 Thessalonians 1, 1, as we look at this opening verse. A lot of times we skip the salutation thinking there's not much in it. But when you really dig into the salutations that Paul has written, there's quite a bit in there for us to glean. So this is what we'll do this afternoon. So before we study, let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise you and thank you for your love and faithfulness to us day by day. And we thank you for this day that you've given to worship you and for this opportunity now to study your word. We've had a good day and a busy day, so may we calm our hearts and our minds before you. In this time of studying your word, that we would focus upon you and your word and ask that your Holy Spirit that would instruct us from your word. Give us understanding of this verse and what it says to us and how it applies to our lives. Then empower us by your spirit to live by it on a daily basis. For this I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in 1 Thessalonians 1:1, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. All right, let's look at this. First of all, we have three men listed here: Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. In Acts chapter 9, if you look at Acts chapter 9, I'm sure you're familiar with this passage. This is the account of Paul going to Damascus to put believers in jail. And he was faced with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was blinded, went on into Damascus. And we are told that Ananias, the priest there, was sent to Paul by the Lord to share the gospel and to bring him to himself. And Ananias says, "Really, Lord, you want me to go see him? I mean, this guy's up here to arrest us. I don't know if this is a good idea." But Ananias went, and look what the Lord said to him, to Ananias, in verse 15. But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." So we look at Paul and we say a lot of great things about how the Lord used him in writing and giving instructions. But you know, we need to look at him as one chosen by God for this purpose. And you and I need to stop and think about our own hearts and lives before God. You and I were chosen by God himself before the foundation of the world to worship him and to serve him. And sometimes we look at these people in Scripture and we just lift them up on a pedestal as if they're some super spiritual human beings. And you know what? Those folks in the Bible are just like each one of us. They were not super spiritual. They're sinners. And God had a plan for Paul. And starting in Acts chapter 9, when God called Paul to himself, he changed his heart. He had a purpose for Paul, and it was to take the gospel to the Gentiles. When he called each one of us here this afternoon, he had a purpose for us. And that purpose, one of those purposes, was to do the same thing that Paul was doing, be a faithful witness for Jesus Christ wherever we are. We do this with missionaries. We think missionaries are so special because they've given up everything and they've left family and friends and country and gone into a foreign nation. That's a special call. I won't deny that. But do you know that you and I have been called to serve the Lord right here where we are? Our calling is not any different. Oh, it might not be as fabulous and exciting because we don't stand up and give testimonies about what we've been through. But we have the same responsibility. That is to be a faithful witness to Jesus Christ wherever God has placed us. And so this is why as you and I go through a daily routine, as we start the day and you begin your day with prayer, we pray, Lord, thank you for this day. As we go through this day, as I go through this day, please give me the opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who it is or where I am. Give that opportunity to me. And then as we go through the day, we look for those opportunities. And when the Lord gives them to us, we take advantage of them. We're willing and ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. And so, yes, Paul had a special calling, and you and I have a special calling. And we're just like him. Now we look at Silvanus. Now look at Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, the leaders of the church in Jerusalem have had a council, and they've come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, and this word has to be spread out through the church. And so we look at Acts chapter 15 and verse 22. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. And they sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers. So once again, we have men that God has chosen, men whom God has chosen to be leaders in the church and to be used by God in that capacity. Now look at verse 32, same chapter, verse 32. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. Now we're told not only was Silas or Silvanus one of the leaders in the church, but he was a prophet. Now a prophet in those days and in that context was one who would teach God's word and encourage the believers. And so this is spiritual leadership in the church. When we look at brothers in Christ to be spiritual leaders and to be teachers in the church, we look for men who love the Lord, who have the gift of teaching, and who would teach the scriptures, and it would strengthen the church and encourage the church. And this should be the goal of all of us who teach, is to strengthen brothers and sisters in Christ, and to strengthen them and to encourage them by the teaching of the Word of God. So this is a responsibility that men have in the church, that God calls to be leaders, to be teachers, to be elders, and even to be deacons. The office of deacon is one of a spiritual nature. And it's very important that all of us in these positions, we strive to have all of you in our concern for your spiritual growth and your encouragement. And so this is Silvanus. Then we go to Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, Timothy, we have the account of Timothy being chosen to join Paul on this journey. And in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Notice here that Timothy, as a young believer, already had a reputation of being strong spiritually. And this is the kind of reputation that we should have of ourselves. What is your reputation in the community? Is it a strong believer? One who stands for Christ and is being used of Christ? This is what whatever he had been living, the lifestyle he had, it was because of his commitment to Christ, and that reputation had spread. And all of us have a reputation. And it precedes us by how people perceive us. And so what would be our reputation in the community? Now, let's look at Acts chapter 16 and verse 5. So Timothy joins Paul. And look at verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. As a result of God calling these men to himself, and using them as directed by his Holy Spirit, the church was strengthened in faith. The faith that they had didn't increase. The faith that they had was strengthened because of the ministry of these men among the believers. And, you know, we are part of the body of Christ, which we'll see in a moment. And God has blessed us with leadership, and this leadership should be focused on, and as we are, the strengthening of this church, the spiritual strengthening of the church of Jesus Christ. Because as we looked at this morning with all the philosophy that's flying around and the traditions of men, We hear all kinds of stuff from all kinds of people who claim to be teachers. And we have to be discerning. We have to know the scripture. And we need to pray for each other, encourage each other. So as a result of the work of Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, the church was strengthened. And as a result of that strengthening, numbers were added daily. Look at the priority. Teaching the church, keeping the church spiritually healthy. And as a church is spiritually healthy and being a witness out there, then the numbers come. And this is what we need to focus on as we grow as a church as well. Now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1. So we have Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, men chosen by God with particular gifts and abilities, used as they were led by the Holy Spirit. Now notice this address, this epistle is addressed to the church of the Thessalonians, to the church of the Thessalonians. First of all, let's look at the word church. The word church is the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia literally translates as an assembly or called out ones. And so the church is called out of the general population. And this is what this church is. It's called out. But notice here, he doesn't say the church of God or the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says the church of the Thessalonians. That prepositional phrase of the Thessalonians points out that these people who came to Christ were taken from the general population of the city of Thessalonica. Not all the people there were believers, only certain ones. And that's what that prepositional phrase is talking about. You take the word church and called out ones or an assembly, and that assembly was made up of the people of Thessalonica. Now, look at the next phrase, of the church in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the preposition there, in. It's not of. It's in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That preposition, in, means within. Means within. And in this preposition, it means being within Christ and union with Him. And so you and I need to realize that as believers in Christ, we are in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a union. There is a communion. There is a fellowship in Christ. And this is what we need to be aware of. So we are in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice here in this church, our identity is being in Christ, not being a Presbyterian or Baptist. I hear people, you know, where do you go to church? I have the Baptist faith. Oh, I have a Catholic faith. Oh, I have Presbyterian or Methodist faith. I didn't know there were all those different faiths. I was under the impression biblically there was only one. And that had to be in Christ, not the church. So where's our identity? Where's our identity? Is it in the church? Is it in the denomination? Or it is in Christ? You see, biblically it should be in Christ. I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I never tell anybody I'm a Presbyterian. That's the last thing I tell them. Because I don't want to talk denominations and ecclesiastical stuff. I want to talk about Christ. And so I don't talk about the denomination we're in. I was in Lowe's Friday night. Needed some therapy. And I had one of the VBS shirts on. It's got the name of the church. And this one had to be about Daniel, big old picture of a lion. And this guy behind me kept staring at me. And he didn't look like he was a happy camper. And I thought, what's this guy getting? And he got into my personal space. I mean, he's here. And I'm thinking, leave me alone. And so I got my stuff. And he said, is that a camp shirt? I mean, down. He was mad. Is that a camp shirt? No, sir. It's Vacation Bible School. Where do you go to church? Oh, I didn't want to answer that question, I'll tell you that. I said, Third Presbyterian. Where's that? Good night, guy. Lighten up. And I told him, and he didn't know where we are. I won't say that. And then I said, where do you go to church? And he told me, I'll not give you the name of that church, because he was so angry. He was so angry. And he mumbled something. I don't know what he said. And to be honest with you, I didn't want to know what he said. And it was all about church. All about church. And so, you know, you can do away with a lot of arguing when you talk about Christ and not church. And I would encourage all of us to do that, to talk about Christ. I'm a believer. My identity is in Christ. It's not my identity as a pastor or the husband of Mary Eleanor or the father of all of our children. My identity comes in Christ and Christ alone. Your identity is the same way. It's in Christ. And so we don't get caught up in all these questions about why do y'all dunk and we sprinkle and all this stuff. You know, you just don't go there. And it centers on Christ. But just don't say you're a believer, okay? You got to say you're a believer in Christ. If you just say you're a believer, then they walk away wondering, what do you believe in? So say, I'm a believer in Christ. That's the important thing. So when we talk about who am I, when I think about who I am, I think about who I am in Christ, and everything else falls in place after that. And this is what is communicated here when we talk about in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So the preposition is in union with Him. Turn to Romans chapter 8. So what does it mean to be in union with God the Father? In Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. We read these words. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba. Now, Father is the translation of Abba. Abba, the connotation of Abba is a very close and personal relationship with God. And every one of us in here have that kind of relationship. You and I are His children. And you and I have a special relationship with our Heavenly Father that's very special between you personally and the Heavenly Father. And when we would cry out the name Abba, we would be saying to the Lord, to our Father in heaven, this special relationship that we have. And that's the emphasis here. So we have this relationship with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord is a title. It's Jehovah or Yahweh. Jesus means Savior, and Christ points to the Anointed One. So we're talking about the one that God promised to come into the world to die for our sins. And there's only one. And you recall Jesus when he was with the disciples the night of his arrest in John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. No one. There's no other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And that union, that fellowship is established through Christ. And then the final phrase there, grace to you and peace. We all know that grace is God's spontaneous favor that He bestows upon His people. We put a lot of emphasis on favor, and rightfully so, but we should also look at spontaneous. We can't earn the grace of God. God freely gives this to us, and He does it whenever He wants to and however He wants to. And it begins, as recorded in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We experience that grace in conversion, in the salvation of our souls, and we live in that grace from that point till we go to be with the Lord. We're always in that grace, and this is spontaneously given to us by God. Grace and peace. Peace. We look to the Hebrew for the true meaning of peace because it stresses the right relationship between the individual and God. And that peace is shalom. Not only does it mean the reconciliation, but also the relationship, the ongoing relationship with the worshiper. Look at Romans chapter 5. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace. This peace is a consciousness of having been reconciled with God through Christ. You and I know we are forgiven. You and I know that when we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The moment you and I confess sin and repent and ask for forgiveness, we have it. And it's a consciousness. We know it. It's not, I think so, possibly, maybe. No. You have it. You are forgiven. You've been cleansed in the blood of Christ. That sin has been removed. You have been released from that sin. You are no longer held accountable for that. Brothers and sisters, you know as well as I, that's peace. That is peace. And this is what we have as the children of God. We are part of the assembly, the church of Christ. We have union with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, we experience His grace on a daily basis. And we consciously know we are forgiven. And we have a peace of heart and mind which surpasses all understanding. That's who you and I are and what you and I have in Christ. So meditate on these promises out of 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Shall we stand? Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you this afternoon. And we do praise and thank you for the forgiveness that we have in Christ. And in that forgiveness of our sin and the cleansing from all unrighteousness, we have a union with God the Father and the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that union, we experience your grace and your peace on a daily basis. Thank you for the spiritual blessings you've given us this day. Thank you for the fellowship we've had in our time of worship and how you fed us by your Holy Spirit from your word. Now, Father, please continue to bless us in the fellowship around the table. We thank you for the food that you've provided for us and ask that you strengthen this, take this food and strengthen our bodies that we may continue to love and serve you. Dismiss us with your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.